Hey guys, just a quick heads up. We've just launched our brand new investment opportunity called Alessia Gardens in the Greater Atlanta MSA. Now, through RSN Property Group, I've been investing in multifamily for over a decade, acquiring nearly $1 billion in assets and delivering investors an average 27% annual return. Now, if you want to invest alongside of me in this latest deal, head over to www.rsnpropertygroup.com/call to schedule a quick chat with one of our team members. That's www.rsnpropertygroup.com/call.
Many of the best agents charge the lowest fees, which makes no sense at all, especially in the ultra high end. And they all rationalize it. It's a lot of money, a $20 million home, a $50 million home. Name one other industry where the best charge less. Name one. It doesn't work that way.
Welcome to Investing in the US, a podcast for real estate investors, business owners, and aspiring entrepreneurs looking to grow their wealth by investing in US real estate. I'm your host, Reid Goossens, and so far, I've acquired over $800 million worth of investments on various properties across the United States. On this podcast, I interview go-getters, risk takers, and the best in the business to learn more about their investment journey and the cutting-edge strategies they are applying towards building a legacy. For more on growing your own wealth and by investing in the US, visit www.reidgoossens.com.
Today on the show, I have the pleasure of speaking with Steve Schull. Now, Steve is the founder and head coach of Performance Coaching. Now, after 3 decades and over 60,000 hours of one-on-one coaching, he knows more about real estate agents than anybody else in the world. That insight has led him to a unique approach that takes the fear and flight out of real estate, allowing agents to build stronger businesses while actually enjoying their lives. I'm really pumped and excited to have him on the show today to share his incredible insight and knowledge. But enough out of me. Let's get him out of here. G'day, Steve. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Mate, my pleasure. You're in sunny California as well. So how's the start of the year been for you, 2025?
Markets are this year very interesting. I think everyone was expecting things to be a lot more active than it's been. And it's a mixed bag around the country. No markets are terrible. However, things are slower than most people want it to be. There's a few markets that are, still see a lot of multiple offers and things selling well over asking. There's still an overriding shortage of inventory. So it's a challenging market.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that in a momentarily. But just, I like to start every show with, can you rewind the clock and tell me how you made your first ever dollar as a kid?
My father and my grandfather were in advertising specialties, pens and coolers and hats and all that kind of crap that people used to bank promos. And So I, started off by being around them. And, when they would go to trade shows, I would go to trade shows and help out wherever I can. Then I worked in restaurants for a little bit, worked on a construction crew one summer. So I did a lot of everything growing up, a lot of different experiences.
It's
mowing lawns, newspaper route, you name it, all that good stuff.
Well, it sounds like you had pretty good influences from your dad and your grandpa. Like, sounded like they started their own business and it helped you maybe into being the entrepreneur you are today.
I've never thought about it that way. I guess that may have led to it. I mean, no one, who is born grows up thinking, oh, I want to be a real estate coach. That's not a profession that anyone has. However, I've had a very interesting journey along the way that landed me here, and I'm very happy to be here. This is my 33rd year of coaching. And it's been a great trip.
Were you an agent or real estate agent before you became the coach? And what was that story look like in the transitioning?
I played professional football for 4 years in the NFL with the Dolphins. Knee injury ended my career. Went back, got an MBA, went to work for Wall Street. Did that for 5 years. And then in 1990, moved out to Southern California. And someone had given me the CD of two real estate agents in Long Beach, California, Kim and Daryl Rouse, and they were in their second year of real estate, so on track to sell 100 homes. And I listened to that CD, and everything made sense to me. And I partnered up with an agent who'd been in the business 10 years or so at the time in Fullerton, California. And in our first year together, again, 1990 or 1991, I forget now, closed 53 transactions. And wow. In my second year, we were on track to sell 100 homes. And I was not enjoying this in any way, shape, or form. I understood what needed to be done. And from my sports background, had the discipline to, I was knocking on 200 doors a day, calling expired listings every day, following up with everybody. I was doing it by the books. But it didn't light me up on fire. It was strictly about making money. And in this process, I came up with the idea because I had partnered up with this individual who had been in real estate for a while. And normally she was selling 10 homes a year. Now we went to 50 plus. And we were attending real estate seminars, a gentleman named Mike Ferry. And I went to Mike with the idea, what I did with my partner, I think I could do with other agents. And that's actually where coaching was born. Real estate coaching, and that was 1993. And I did that for about 3 years in Mike's organization. And then in 1996, I went out on my own and opened up performance coaching. And so, again, this is my 33rd year as a real estate coach.
That's awesome. Well, let's dig into a little bit about what you are teaching today, because I'm sure you've seen it all since the early 90s. Has any of the techniques that you have, built your business on changed to what you're teaching people today? And again, you don't have to tell us the secret sauce, but, high level stuff that over the last 30 years, how much of that has actually changed versus that sort of hard slog of 200 doors a day that you were knocking on back in the early 90s?
The short answer, I've changed everything about the way I coached. In the beginning, it was a very linear way of coaching. It was all about contacts equal leads, leads equal appointments equal listings, listings equal sales. Mm-hmm. And when I got into the business, I was trained on the idea that you had to sell 50 homes a year. In order to sell 50 homes a year, you had to talk to 50 people a day. And the choices I was given, you could either knock on doors, cold call, expired listings, or for sale by owners. Open houses didn't count. Repeat referral business didn't count. You had to do it the hard way. And for the first 20, 25 years of my coaching career, it was some version of that. It was goal setting, business planning, doing the numbers, script and dialogue, learning your listing presentation. Again, a very, very linear process, all about fact, logic, and reason. And then about 10 years ago, someone gave me the book that's sitting right behind you, Never Split the Difference, written by Chris Foss. And one Saturday afternoon, I cracked that book open and just had a major epiphany about what I was doing. And again, up until that point, I was the guy trying to extract out all the emotion out of real estate sales and turn it into fact, logic, and reason. And in reading the book, I realized I had it completely backwards. And you can't overcome emotion with fact, logic, and reason. And after reading the book, I reached out to Chris, made contact with Chris, and Chris came from the law enforcement world. Specifically, he was the lead international hostage negotiator for the FBI for 7 years. And I said, everything that you wrote in this book about negotiating applies to real estate 100%. So I'd love to be able to team up with you and talk about what the subjects in this book, again, which were very different from what anyone was teaching in the real estate world. And we started collaborating 10 years ago, did some courses, ultimately got together, wrote a book together, The Full Fee Agent. And that, you know, 10 years ago, I did a complete turnaround in my coaching from, you know, the prospecting and lead generation and lead conversion and numbers model. I got very clear that real estate is a repeat and referral business. And it's all about connecting with the people you know and the people you do have done business with. And so I, you know, changed my whole, the way I looked at coaching from numbers to people, and from fact, logic, and reason to emotion. In fact, what Never Split the Difference is about is tactical empathy. And tactical empathy is the art of influencing others by articulating what they're thinking and feeling without necessarily agreeing, disagreeing, or sympathizing. Bottom line, tactical empathy is the skill of making people feel understood. And it's the missing piece in all of sales. All sales training teaches people to ask questions, find out what's going on, and then sell into whatever that opening is. With tactical empathy, no. You find out what people are thinking and feeling, and there's a way to do that. There's very specific tools, labels, mirrors, calibrated questions, and we can get into all that. In any event, what you're trying to find out is you're crossing the street, seeing the world through the other person's eyes. What are they thinking and feeling? And then articulating that back to them so they feel understood. And it's only until someone feels understood that they can actually hear what you're saying. And so most of the time, if not all the time, what real estate professionals are doing, and I would imagine most every sales professional, they're in the business of convincing. They're in the business of trying to sell somebody on what they want them to do. They're trying to get somebody to do business with them. So another big, you know, and I was going down that same path, you know, do all these things and do it in this certain way so you can get more leads, more, you know, more appointments, more listings, more sales, more whatever. And a big thing that I learned in meeting Chris is the concept that we call the favorite or the fool. And what that means is when a real estate agent gets the call that they're all dying to get, hi, we're thinking about selling our home and we'd like you to come over and talk to us. And what a real estate agent thinks is, great, that's my opportunity. And they're going to spend 2 or 3 hours putting their presentation together. They're going to drive out to the house and they're going to give either a formal or informal presentation. It's going to take 1 hour to 2 hours plus. They're going to be yapping away the whole time, trying to convince the other person. And the focus is going to be on articulating their value. What's their value? All the things that they're doing, and they're pitching the prospect of gain. And all of that is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. When that agent gets the call, we're thinking about selling our home, that prospective seller already knows who they're going to work with, or they're leaning strongly in a direction. There's no such thing as an open mind, and there's no such thing as a level playing field. And so through Chris, we developed this framework. So if one of our clients gets this call, hi, we're thinking about selling our home, they're going to say, great, you know, I'd love to come out. However, if you don't mind, if you're not opposed, I'd like to set up a short Zoom call, no more than 15 minutes, where I can better find out what's going on. And that's actually your first filter to find out whether you're the favorite or you're the fool in the game. If you're the favorite, they're going to say, fine, no problem, we'll set that up. If you're the fool in the game, you might get some pushback on why do we have to have a Zoom call? Can't you just come out to the house? And then we've created a framework around this 15 minutes, and nothing magical about 15 minutes. It's just about how long it takes. And the framework is we're going to find out three things. Is there a deal here? Is there a deal here with me? And then do I want this deal? And so in my coaching practice now, this is what we coach to rather than a formal presentation. This idea that agents win or lose business based on their ability to present information to a potential seller, that's not how people make decisions. People do their research up front. They form an opinion. They have experience. Everyone has a bias based on their experience. So by the time they're reaching out to someone, they know what direction they want to go in, or again, they're leaning in a specific direction. So in this call that we designed, I can get to the same outcome in 15 minutes or so that it's going to take a real estate agent 10 plus hours to get to that outcome. And I haven't taught a traditional listing presentation in 10 years now.
Mate, incredible stuff. I actually want to say we actually had Chris Voss on the show probably about a year ago. And that book completely changed my life. I remember I was going through a partnership breakup and I was – business partnership, that is. And I was throwing the bloody thing across the room because I was like, I'm doing none of this stuff.
This is not an incremental change.
Right.
This is not an incremental change. It's a 180-degree shift. Everything that everyone has learned is a completely different paradigm. This changes the rules. I mean, like, for example, commission.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate agents, you know, the one topic they want to avoid more than any other topic is, you know, what they charge. And normally, if they're going on a presentation, the dreaded question, what's your fee? They can't even say their fee. And, you know, and that's the last thing they want to deal with. In this framework that we created, the third part, do I want this deal? One of the things you're going to say, assuming, let's say we discover there is a deal here. We discover there is a deal here with me, because I say the person at the risk of not wanting to be presumptuous, would it be wrong to assume that you would like to work together and you're going to get a yes or you're going to get a no? And assuming they say yes, then you're going to say, great. If you don't mind, and again, these are no-oriented questions. If you don't mind, I'd like to bring up a couple potential sticking points. Great. What are they? One, my fee. Okay. First thing we're going to bring up, my fee. What's your fee? I'm very expensive. Right. People are listening to this going, what are you, nuts? What's your fee? My fee is 3.5%. So we want to get that, and that's for the listing side only. We want to get that out on the table up front. And, you know, that's why we wrote the book, The Full Fee Agent. That's what we coach agents to be. You know, real estate, it's the craziest thing. In real estate, many of the best agents charge the lowest fees, which makes no sense at all, especially in the ultra high end. Those agents are discounting their fee more than anyone else. And they all rationalize it. It's a lot of money, a $20 million home, a $50 million home. Name one other industry where the best charge less. Name one. It doesn't work that way. Normally, the better you are, the higher your fee. And that's what the Full Fee Agent book is all about. How can you be a full fee agent in an industry where everyone else is giving their money away all the time in order to get business?
Oh, it's great. It's exactly what we've been talking about on this show for a long period of time, about how you tease out people's desires and wants to either invest in real estate, to change their life, to grow financial freedom. It's all around human emotion and why we do anything, right? Do we get out of bed for in the morning? Like, why do I get up and do this podcast? Why do you get up and teach people? You got to have a touch and a feel there. So let's keep going down that path a little bit. So the full fee agent, you qualify these people through the is there a deal here with me and do I want this deal? What are the other three questions about the fee that you go into to say like, okay, this is fully qualified, this is the deal for me, and let's move forward to the next step to signing up a contract?
Well, depending on each agent in terms of what standards they have in their business, one, we're going to bring up commission. Two, some agents only want to list a property if the seller is going to stage the property. Another condition might be price. Are you going to put the property on at a reasonable price? Open house. Many top agents don't do the open house personally. They might have a team member do it. So I want to bring that up front. In a way, what the reasons why someone might not work with you are more important than the reasons why they will. So when we say, do I want this deal? I want to make sure that we're going to be in alignment. I want to make sure that the seller understands how I work and they're okay with that. Because the last thing I need, I want as an agent, I don't want the seller telling me how to sell a home. This is why they hire me. And part of being a full fee agent is you are viewed as a trusted advisor. And again, this is a big part of the coaching. This is an entire industry that focuses on value. Value, value, value. What's your value? What value are you bringing to the table? Home sellers and home buyers will pay a lot more for trust than a value proposition. So the full fee agent is really about how you position yourself to be a trusted advisor. So people aren't questioning your fee. They want to work with you. And that's really the key. People get hung up. Well, how am I going to charge this? Or how am I going to charge this? The fact is, when you're seen as a trusted advisor, they're going to pay whatever your fee is. They're not concerned about the fee. And I'm not saying they're going to overpay. However, in real estate, if you're a trusted advisor, your seller will pay three. Your seller will pay 3.5 all day long. All day long.
How do you build that trust early on?
You build trust early on by, one, whenever you're entering into any encounter with another human being, we call the first thing you want to do is dump your bucket. And what that means is you want to let go of your needs, your wants, your agenda. It's not about you. You make it all about the person you're talking to. And as I said earlier, first you dump your bucket and then you cross the street and you see the world through their eyes. And then you articulate what you think they're thinking and feeling. And what you're targeting is a that's right response. So it sounds like you want to be moved in 30 days. It sounds like the ideal price you want to sell your home for is X, and you want to avoid any surprises. That's right. When you hear that's right, that means you hit the bullseye. They're feeling understood. And when you hit that bullseye two or three times, you will see a physical reaction in the other person. You'll see them relax their shoulders. You'll see their breath slow down. And that's when you know trust is forming. So the way you build trust is focus on the other person. Let go of what you're trying to get out of the transaction and make it all about them. And they feel that. It's an energy.
Yep, 100%. And it's, yes, when you, as you say, people let down their guard when you start to cross the street, as you're saying, see the world through their eyes. I really, really do love that. I just wrote that down. Let's pivot just a little bit and talk what we started the conversation at the beginning of the show about where we are today. And I assume your coaching business is predicated on how well or well not the market is going. And I said, I assume. Is that correct? Do you see an influx in agents coming to get your advice when the market's going well? Or do you see it opposite when the market's sort of not going so well, you know, you see more people coming to want to get that advice, to be that trusted advisor, so to speak.
When agents are selling a lot of home, they have money and they sign up for coaching. Mm-hmm. When the market's really slow and they don't have any money, the first thing to go is coaching, which is the, that's when they need coaching the most, to get through these tough times. However, the reality is when they have money, they sign up for it. And when they don't, they don't.
Yep. So let's talk about market. We're sitting here in 2025. Let's look back at the last 2 years. Interest rates went up. How have you seen the niche that your home sales agents are in? How's it going? And I guess you could probably give us a world view of the United States. You could talk a little bit about Los Angeles specifically. But how are you seeing overall inventory? I think you mentioned earlier it's still quite low. Yeah. Is that affecting sales and volume and all that good stuff?
It's interesting. I've probably been through 4 or 5 market cycles now, and every cycle is different. No two cycles are the same. And typically, though, we go in 10-year cycles. And in a 10-year cycle, you're going to have 1, 2, maybe 3 rough years, and then 7 good or great years. That's typically how it's been. We are now in year 3 or 4 of this cycle that has not been so great. However, it's different though, because it's not a crashing market. It's the lack of inventory has just made it more difficult. There's not as many transactions, period. And this lack of inventory is not going away. We just had, you're here locally. We just had the fires. Mm-hmm. And I live, fire came within 250 yards of my home. I'm right here. And the Palisades, you had 5,000 structures go down, 5,000 people or more get displaced in a market where there's not a lot of inventory. And it's bizarre. Where did they go? Where did they go? Yes, there was there was definitely a bump in activity for 2 or 3 weeks. However, not nearly what you thought it would be with all these people being displaced. And either they had second homes or they moved into hotels or they went to short-term rentals or leases or bought or moved out of the area. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. And so there's just not a lot of flow. All we know is prices are holding. Prices are not going down. The inventory problem is not going away. It's not going away. And, interest rates just had a huge impact on slowing things down. And, if I had to guess, and it's a guess, and nobody can predict the future, and I mean nobody, it would seem like the next move is up. However, we'll see.
Yep. No, look, and it affects our world is that as a real estate investing in multifamily is that there's with interest rates, people are going to rent for longer, right? It's good. It's actually good on the other side of the coin, even though it's been a really tough 3 or 4 years because we had such a euphoric run. I don't know either, right? I thought last year when the Treasury hit sub 4%, I thought, here we go. We're in deal-making mode, right? We thought this is going to help you guys, it's going to help us, it's going to help rent, people who want to get out of renting and into a home. But the brass tacks of it is that when interest rates go up, you can't afford to spend more money on interest rates, right? It's actually, and quite uniquely, US is actually, I'm from Australia where, and my friends at home, back home, we have interest rates reset every 5 years where, for me, I've locked in a 2.99% interest rate on my home. You think I'm moving anytime soon?
No.
to get into a 6.5%, right? And that's been the weird thing that I'd love your opinion on that. Like, do you think people are staying still because they locked in some good rates sort of 3 or 4 years ago? And that's sort of adding to the slow inventory of the LA market?
I think what's going back to my Wall Street days, financial markets hate uncertainty. Markets hate uncertainty. And we're just living in a time where there is a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And you know, because of the internet and the way, you know, things get communicated now, just, you know, in real time, misinformation, you know, there's just so many mixed message and so much polarization in this, that, you know, in the country, in the world. I just think it's the level of uncertainty is, it's what's causing markets to act the way they're acting right now. And, you know, you keep thinking it's going to do this and it doesn't.
Right. And I think the biggest thing is no one will know when uncertainty is only going to get, it's either going to be the new norm, because I don't know if it's going to go back the other way with the access to information. So, you know, it's, but look, let's start wrapping up the show here. What are you seeing both on the, for the future in the next sort of 12 to 24 months? What are you doing on the business side, for the coaching side? And then what are you seeing from the economy side, and how that's going to help or free up more inventory or not? You know, what's your crystal ball? And again, no one has a crystal ball, but what's going on in your head right now where you think we're going the next 12 to 24 months?
In my business, again, my, you know, 33rd year, I just love the fact that every day I get to get smarter every day. And when you do something for a long period of time, I've logged 60,000 plus hours of one-on-one coaching. You begin to see patterns, and you begin to see, you know, the more aware you become, the more there is to be aware of. And, you know, so every day I'm seeing this industry clearer and clearer. And my coaching is all about the fundamentals. I do not coach to bright, shiny objects. I'm not the new idea guy. I say the same thing again and again and again. I coach to an inch wide and a mile deep. Most people are going a mile wide and an inch deep. So every day I get more clear, more clarity around how to better coach agents in this business, because, you know, everyone thinks, realtors are overpaid. It's easy. Anybody could do it. Yeah. Go get in this business. Go spend a week trying to sell homes. You'll have a very, very different opinion. You know, the uncertainty, the unpredictability, the paychecks are big. It is a high wire act. And you never know if you're going to get paid until that check actually, till the money actually hits the bank. And so even though you have stuff in escrow, you're going through 30, 60 days of just a roller coaster ride. So agents are really up against it. And this entire industry is trying to turn agents into commodities. It's terrible. The only focus in real estate is on production, as if that's the magic pill. Everyone's defined by their production. They're measured by it. They're ranked by it. They're paid by it, as if that's the holy grail. It's not. So in my coaching practice, I really try and redefine what success is. And that's what we're working on. And success is not only doing well, it's being well. And the truth is, you're not in control of the outcome. Any real estate agent needs to understand that there are three things that influence their productivity. One is what they do. Two is what the market does. And three is what the clients do. So on your best day, you're only in control of one out of the three forces that influence how many homes you're going to sell in a year. And in truth, the other two forces are bigger influences than what you do. So we don't focus on the result. It's not how much business you do. It's how you do your business. So my job as a real estate coach is to position people to have the greatest chance for success, to rewire their minds from survival to success. So from a business point, I'm always working on how we can do that better. In terms of the market, again, I have no ability to predict the future. If I had to bet, I think it's going to get better. I don't think the inventory problem is going away. I think as long as agents keep increasing their skill set, the great thing about real estate, it's what I call a blue sky business. There are no limits. And that's, you know, that's the great thing. And the challenge is there's no guarantees. So good luck, everyone.
Well, mate, I absolutely love that summary there. Let's wind up the show and dive into the top five investing tips. Ready to get into it?
Okay.
Question number one, what's the daily habit you practice to keep on track towards your goals?
My daily habit is I check in with my daily habit is I spend an hour to an hour and a half every day getting quiet, my form of meditation, letting the air out of the tires, and reconnecting with a core belief, which is whatever is happening, none of it's personal, all of it's temporary. I want to be in harmony with what is. So I spend a solid hour, hour and a half every day doing that.
Love it. Question number two is, who's the most influential person in your career to date?
Well, I've had several. Don Shula was my coach at the Dolphins, and Don Shula preached perfection. That was the standard. And his goal was to win a Super Bowl 365 days a year. So I really learned the power of focus playing for him. And David Allen was another mentor of mine, wrote the book, Getting Things Done. Chris Voss, obviously, big, big, big influence on mine. And then from a mindset point of view, Michael Singer, who's written several books, The Untethered Soul, The Surrender Experiment, Living Untethered. Those are some of the biggest influences on my life.
Love it. I absolutely love that. Question number three is, what's the most influential tool in your business? It could be a physical tool like a phone or a journal. What is it?
My new best buddy, ChatGPT, man. I can't tell you. Zoom, I was one of the first people on Zoom. And Zoom just revolutionized what I could do. I used to go out and meet people one-on-one in their office. When Zoom... I haven't been out to an office. I can't tell you how long. We're doing this. So right. Zoom absolutely expanded my ability to do business. And now ChatGPT is like
blowing your mind.
Unbelievable. Yeah. It is. And here's what I love about ChatGPT. ChatGPT by itself is useless. You know, it doesn't wake up. Man, I heard it's going to do this, but as right now, it doesn't wake up every day and call you and say, hey, Steve, I was thinking last night, why don't we do this? All right. But I can go on ChatGPT any day. It's like I look at myself as a conductor of an orchestra, and I have these world-class musicians at my disposal every day. And right. What I love, this was an aha I had. ChatGPT doesn't take anything personally. It doesn't take anything personally. They'll do whatever I say. It doesn't bitch, doesn't moan, doesn't whine. It will take direction flawlessly all day long. And so I'm the conductor. And what I'm finding with ChatGPT, it is expanding my thought process dramatically. It becomes an extension of me. Now it's like I have 50 million brains and I can go in any direction I want. So long answer to your question, ChatGPT.
I love it, mate. I love it. Question number four is, in one sentence, what's been the biggest failure in your career? What did you learn from that failure?
In order to grow, you must let go.
Love
by
it.
By far.
Wow.
By far, if there was one thing that I had, I would pass on, it would be that. If you want to grow, you must let go.
Love it. Love it, mate. Final question for you. Where can people reach you to continue the conversation? They'll be in your sphere. Where do they go?
And go to www.performancecoaching.com. They can email us at support@performancecoaching.com. They can go online to Amazon. I have three books out, The Full Fee Agent, Real Estate is Not Rocket Science, and The Real Estate Team Playbook.
Love it. Love it, mate. Look, I want to thank you so much for jumping on today's show. I want to reflect some of the things that I took away. And hopefully a lot of people took away this as well. You are in the business of real estate agents, but what you're really in the business of is changing people's mindset. It could be anyone that you could coach, right? And you mentioned those three things, how you show up, how the market shows up, and how your client shows up. insert widget here, insert entrepreneurship here, insert whatever you're selling, whatever your build brand you're building, whatever you're doing, it's the same fundamentals. And I love that about what you're trying to build. And you know, you've got very specific tools around how you approach a conversation, but that even those tools could be used how 100%. I talk to a passive investor, or how I talk to, you know, raising, when I want to raise money for my deals. It's like a Swiss Army knife. It can be used in so many different scenarios. And I think that's
not to interrupt, tactical empathy is a way of being. It's not a technique. It's not a tool. It's a way of being.
That's right. No. And I think the being quiet with oneself and learning to let go in order to grow helps you understand that you don't control the market. You don't control if interest rates come down. You don't control if the uncertainty is going up or down. But once you let go of that, once you understand that, you become a better, not only better human, but you can do your job better, and you can have a more of abundance mindset. And I think that's the key of what I've taken away from today's show, is your ability to teach abundance, regardless of what that is. So did I leave anything out?
I just want to jump on this last point because this is critical. Every human being is wired for survival, for scarcity. That's the way we're wired. That's our, you know, ancestry. The good news is our brain is adaptable, and you can rewire your brain for success. And the reason why everyone struggles in life, because unless you understand the concept of wiring, you're not going to change. Your habits are going to dictate what you do. I don't care what your goals are. I don't care what your intention is. I don't care what your motivation is. I don't care what your willpower is. We are creatures of habit. And until you learn how to rewire your brain for success, and it goes back to what you just mentioned, you have to understand your circle of control, what you control in life, and what you don't control. Anything outside of you, you have no control over. You have complete control over what goes on the inside. And so, you know, you've heard it a million times, you know, success is an inside job. Guess what? Success is an inside job. You just have to understand the process of wiring so you can rewire your brain from survival to success. And that's not, you know, this is science. This is science. It's not some, you know, groovy, airy, fairy, whatever. This is real science to how you do that.
Love it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Steve, for jumping on today's show. If you want to check him out, performancecoach.com or support@performancecoaching.com. Please also get his book, The Full Fee Agent, on Amazon today. Steve, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you have another cracking episode jam-packed with some incredible advice from Steve. Please check out all his stuff on Amazon. Just Google his name. He'll come up, and you know, he's just a world of success. He's a world of inspiration. So please be in his sphere and get in touch. I want to thank you all for taking some time out of your day to continue to grow your financial IQ, because that's what we're all about here on this show. We're going to do this all again next week. So remember, be bold, be brave, and go give life a crack.